Let's get into the content of today's class. I am really excited to be doing this particular exploration because I have such a passion that I've had my whole life for always understanding the why behind what I and others do. All of us have been studying for some time at least the observation, feeling, need, request aspect of NBC, and I really want us to delve deeply into the whys behind each of the components, how they're put together, why we do it this way, do we like it, do we like the results, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I have excitement about having this exploration. I want to plunge right in. My image for today is small group for a few minutes, conversation for a few minutes, small group for a few minutes, conversation, et cetera, about probably 5 or 6 times. So I would like to set up groups of 3. We'll have probably 6 minutes at a time, where what I would like you to do is to take the questions that I ask you and see if you can either coalesce in your group around an answer, or if not, be able to frame what you want support in resolving. For example, if it's some people are thinking that it's one way and some people thinking that it's another way, you might want to have some understanding about how to resolve that difference between you. The specific question that I want you to explore in the first round is just to connect with each other about overall the set of questions that I gave you to prepare with. Have you ever thought about NBC in that way? Have you ever wondered why we do this, why we do that? Just connect with each other about that. See if any themes emerge from your interaction that you would like us to explore in the large group. We'll go for 6 minutes. So this is not quite turn-taking, although you may choose to do turn-taking in your group. I'm inviting you to have a discussion with each other and use the last minute to summarize it into what you want to bring to our large group discussion. So I would love to hear something very succinct from the 6 groups when we come back. Welcome back. I hope this was a meaningful conversation, and I am curious to hear. I'll just ask one group at a time. There is the group that had Karen in it. Is there anyone from that group who is ready to share something with a larger group?
Well, I was with Steve and Dana, and we were just really trying to understand the question. And the last piece that we got to at the end was saying that NVC has a structure that invites a creativity and a fluidity. And in themselves, those two aspects are quite different, which is something that's quite unique about it.
Thank you. Sometimes I forget to ask a question that my sister Inbal has taught me, which is when I give instructions to a group of people, which is to say, who is secretly hoping that your partners in the group understand the question?
Well, we concluded that we all were in our group.
Thank you. I appreciate this. I hope not to be embarrassed further by hearing from other groups. Are Mitsiko or Todd ready to share or ask anything?
We just went with the questions for the preparation and definitely concluded that all components are very important. I have a preference for observation because I find that it enables me to dive into the feelings and needs, but all of them are quite important.
Thank you. We'll get more into how each of them contribute and what they contribute in a few moments. Thank you. Anything from Jean, David, or Carlene?
I think we concluded the same. All were important. One of us noticed the difference of using the OFNR in our lives today as opposed to prior knowledge of them, and really liked the clarity that it brings to our lives, what the four components bring to our lives.
The components bring clarity. Can you say just one thing about this?
Observation versus evaluation brings a lot of clarity.
Got it. Yeah, so you were looking into this level of detail. I think I'm going to abandon the particular path that I was on and just ask more broadly, are there people, any of the groups that have anything that you really would like to share? I don't want it to be like a report in a class. If anybody has something exciting that came up in your group that you would like to share.
Something that came up, and I'd love to hear why it's like this. I was very much missing just naming the element of honesty in this, and I'm assuming it's because we would assume the whole thing is built on honesty, and honesty is one of the things to work towards. But somehow, empathy, I hold them, you know, as this sort of scale of honest expression and empathy, and why isn't honesty named in this? I'm curious.
So the thing that I was referring in the preparation, I was talking about empathy and self-expression, and what I call self-expression is what some other people call honesty. I don't like to call it like this because honesty is a quality and self-expression is what it is that you do. Is that helpful in any way?
Almost. So honesty is a quality that you hold, and it's like it's a need, it's a value, and self-expression is something that you do.
It's descriptive. It doesn't attribute any qualities to it. It just describes what you're doing. It's the same as the distinction between empathy and, let's say, care. Care would be a quality that you would bring to your empathy rather than what you are actually doing.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I've held empathy as a quality, but I see what you mean in
it
this
situation.
It can
be. Empathy is a little blurry because it's both descriptive and evaluative, both at the same time.
Okay, thanks. I'll hold that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else that anybody wants to say at this point?
I just wanted to offer the piece that I took away of the observation being like a pause button in the conversation. I just really like that concept.
Thank you. So I wanted to go to observation, and first of all, I just want to kind of like take a step back and say that I see three levels. A lot of people talk about there being two levels, the consciousness and the practice. I see NVC operating as a three-level system. At the heart of it is the consciousness that we're trying to live. We looked a lot at it the first and second classes, especially last time, in terms of the assumptions and intentions. The consciousness of NVC is very reminiscent of many other spiritual practices, systems of connection, etc., etc., etc. It's not so completely new. Part of what I see as so unique about NVC is that it has a very, very specific and concrete practice to help with the consciousness. And so that practice operates on two levels. One is the four components, which are, one way of saying it is, they tell us where to focus our attention so that we can deepen our consciousness. It's kind of like if I focus my attention on these four components, and we're going to see in a moment why, that helps me align myself and ground myself in the consciousness. The second level of practice, or the third level of NVC, it's not so much the attention inside of me, it's what I actually do. And then there is a very specific template that we use, that anyone who's been to any NVC class for any length of time knows, hopefully by heart, which is, when I see or hear this, I feel such and so because I have this or that need, and would you be willing to do X, Y, Z? That's the one side of the template, and the other side of the template is, Are you feeling this or that because of your need for this or that? Now, this template is the practice tool that helps us keep our attention on these components that help us bring our heart and intention to the consciousness. I see this as a three-tier process. It's really important to remember that the template is something I want to use in a practice setting only. Otherwise, my language gets impoverished. I become a tunnel vision person that can only speak a certain way. I want to use it in a practice setting so that it can help keep my attention where I want it, so that I can keep integrating more and more of the consciousness, so that in my daily living, my language starts emerging directly from the consciousness, and I don't have to use a template. Because if I use a template in daily living without having an agreement with people that we are now practicing NVC, I am bound to alienate people because I will sound mechanical. Anything else before we start focusing on each of the components?
I don't know that I have completely seen the three levels that you're talking about. I'm wondering if you could summarize it one more time.
Sure. Let's say something happens. Let's say I'm driving and somebody switches from a lane that is on my right to right in front of me, faster than is feeling safe to me. Many people, even after many years of NVC training, but certainly before NVC training, sit inside thinking, what an idiot, or some such thing. Yes, you recognize the moment. It's very kind of like familiar. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the consciousness that I want to develop, in that consciousness, I want to be in a place of holding care for myself and everyone else, for example. That's one of the ways of quickly describing the consciousness, if you remember that we did the various approaches last week. And in that, I'm not going to think, what an idiot. I'm going to just like be connected with being frightened and with being relieved that nothing happened or something like this. That's going to happen naturally if I'm in that consciousness. If I'm not in that consciousness, internally, what can help me get to that consciousness is I can ask myself any one of these questions, such as, what just happened? And really pull out the observation. So it's like, oh, no one cut. Somebody just switched lanes. Oh, that's how I want to think about it. This is purely internal. I'm not saying anything to anyone. I'm not saying when this person did such and so. Do you see what I mean? I'm just focusing on like, okay, that's what happened. Or I could ask myself, what's the need that is creating this reaction or judgment? Oh, it's my need for safety. It's my need for consideration. And I can kind of like breathe and connect with that. I'm focusing on the components. I'm not in the template. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
In a different scenario, maybe this something happened and we are stopping at a red light and me and this person are both at the red light and I roll down my window. I could conceivably say to this person, you are such an asshole idiot. You endangered both of us. Or I can say, you know, I'd like to give you some feedback. When I saw you crossing lanes, I was so frightened because I really want the safety and peace and ease when I drive and to have trust of the consideration and consciousness of other people. And I'm wondering if you even saw me. So I just did the template. It was relatively colloquial, but you recognize that I went through observation, feeling, need, request?
Yes.
To see how different that is from just the components themselves.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So, again, the question that I am bringing to you in your group is, what's the significance of translating evaluation to observation? What do we get from it? What needs does it meet for you? How does it support you to be able to do that? How does it support the connection, if it does? What else do you get from it? That's the set of questions that I have around observations. Anybody wants any clarity in terms of what I'm asking you to do?
Could you just repeat it one more time?
Absolutely. So I don't know if I will repeat, but I will say more or less the same thing, which is, in what way are you served by shifting from evaluation or interpretation into an actual viewer observation? How does it serve you? What needs does it meet for you? How does it serve connection, if it does? What else do you get from it? Clear?
Yes, thank you.
All right, so I suggest let's take 5 minutes for this. And again, this is not necessarily turn-taking unless you want to do that. Okay, talk to you again in 5 minutes. Welcome back. I hope you had fruitful conversation, maybe more fruitful than the previous one. And I would like to hear, what are some of the things you discovered in talking about observations? What is the value or strength or meaning that you find in shifting from evaluation to observation?
I really resonated with what one of the other women said before we broke out into the group. It took me into a different perspective to think of it this way, but she said observations allow diving into the feelings and needs. And it's kind of ironic in a way to me that when you look at the picture without putting any story or emotions into it, that it really allows you to go deep into feelings and needs. So I think it's really an important step.
I can tell you my sense of why that is so, because I agree with this. And my sense is that the judgment is a protective layer. We put on a judgment so that we can protect ourselves from the vulnerability of the deeper feelings. When we remove the protective layer and just look at what happens, then we have free flow into ourselves. That's one reason. The other is that the judgment puts our energy out. And when we describe, we kind of like park what's out, and it allows all the noise to recede and to be able to then focus inward peacefully. It's very related, but not quite exactly the same reason. Do they make sense to you?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We discussed that the observation, you know, created sort of a shared reality between the two people, and, mm-hmm. and that it was neutral. I think we thought that of a true observation as being just something that our senses would perceive without evaluation, and therefore would create the possibility for more connection, and would reduce the attachment to the reaction and the trigger when you stand back and can witness the interpretation as opposed to just the observation. So that
Thank
it kind
you.
Of creates more presence, I guess.
I like what you're saying. I want to make a small but significant tweak, which is the observation doesn't create a shared reality. It increases the likelihood of a shared reality. Because very often it happens when there is a lot of charge that people see different things. See or hear different things. If you or anyone else has ever seen a movie called Rashomon, it's a classic movie in which somebody got killed, and the movie shows the story from the point of view of four different people who were part of what happened that led to the person being killed. It's like four different stories altogether, not just in terms of what they felt or what they thought about it. It's like you see a different sequence of events, and you know that that happens. So it's important for me to know that what I'm trying to do overall in my speech is to reduce the obstacles to connection and flow. And that if I let go of the evaluation and bring it to an observation, there's more of a chance that that will happen. Do you accept this tweak?
Yes.
Thank you.
One piece that came up in our conversation was just about attunement, with really allowing the senses to take in. It was just bringing more presence to the situation.
Yeah, because it's almost like mindfulness, like what is really going on, instead of the story that I tell myself immediately. That way?
Yeah, and that mindfulness can also make the space for maybe the clear speaking of feelings and needs, or the clear,
yeah,
like transmission of intuition.
Thank you.
One thing that came up for me, just more in the notes rather than in the discussion, was an observation really helps separate the actions from the person. Like what was done or said is really, it just reduces any sort of opportunity to have the person be the behavior or be what they did or said. And then for me that makes it really much more doable at the other end when we're talking about the requests. You know, if it's something to be done or said, it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot easier to get clear about what it is.
Because when you have an evaluation, it kind of like gets attached to the person.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else that anybody would like to add?
One of the things that just came up for me is how I remember so many years of parenting. This is before I was exposed to NVC, and telling my children and maybe other children how wonderful they were, or using those kinds of judgments in the hope that that would really somehow improve their lives or add to their,
yeah,
a positive thinking about themselves, rather than letting them know specifically in what way their life contributed to mine. A very different experience for me, and hopefully for them as well.
And can you name what the difference is? What does the observation add?
The observation lets them know what it was that they specifically, what they said or did.
Why does that deepen it? That's the question. Why is it that doing that deepens it?
For me, it just brings a lot more. It doesn't force them in a box or in a particular category, but brings more clarity to what specifically happened.
I'm getting from you a sense,
yeah,
that it gives them more freedom from being categorized.
Yeah.
And this relates to another piece that I wanted to add, which is that given the fundamental insight that what happens inside of us is in response to our stories, not in response to what happens. If I could separate out the story from what happened, I am beginning to liberate myself from having to believe my story. And therefore, I have room for other interpretations of the same events. That helps me both in terms of inner freedom, that I can possibly have different feelings and needs, and it helps me in terms of connecting with the other person and being open to their perspective of what happened. So I wanted to add that particular power that observations give us. All right. I would like you now to go back to the drawing board with the same question, this time about feelings. Why do we want to focus on feelings rather than the pseudo-feelings or the thoughts or the things that pull in essentially the other person or the situation into what is supposed to be inside of me? What do I gain from realizing that saying I feel judged, I feel disrespected are not, strictly speaking, feelings in the way we define them in NVC? What do I gain from saying to myself, okay, when I think that I'm being judged, what do I actually feel? I'm going, oh, I feel scared, or I feel irritated, or anything else that is the actual feeling that I have there. The question for you is, again, what do we gain from shifting from that outward focus on what's going on out there, even though I call it a feeling, to really and truly finding the emotion that is in me and giving it a name? In what way does it serve me? Same question, different component. Any questions, any confusion about what I'm asking you to do?
I just want to share that this is absolutely amazing, and I'm having a blast. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Mickey.
Now, let's practice. You say this is absolutely amazing. Can you give an observation, either internal or external?
I'm feeling a lot of joy and connection, and I feel like having a Snoopy dance.
And this is because of what observation?
Because I observe that this class, the content of it, makes me feel completely joyful and happy, because I just enjoy the depth of it and the exploration.
Thank you. I think we just gave an example of how much more meaning there is in the specific than just saying it's amazing. Thank you. And so, again, we're going to do this, and then we'll come back, talk to you then. Welcome back. I am once again opening to hearing from people. What did you discover in your conversations? What is the power, meaning, significance of focusing on feelings? How does it help?
There was this one piece of our conversation that really touched me. Just validating that I do have feelings is empowering. And I suppose it was just resonating for me because it reminded me of thinking about my feelings or needs, like, don't matter or being discounted, like, in my own experience as a child.
Yeah, so it's somehow valuing and respecting yourself that you get from it.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Someone in our group just said something about it being a gateway, and I just wrote down, it's a gateway to me. It's the first expression I can use of dropping into a vulnerable place and being able to tell somebody something that is authentically going on in me. And prior to NBC, I could tell somebody that I feel unloved or I feel judged, like you were saying, but to be able to have these words and this vocabulary that can say that I feel lonely connects me, it just drops me down to another layer that feels so real.
So it's about, for you, it's about, you know, touching yourself, being authentic, having the vulnerability, the willingness to go to the depth, showing yourself. So there's a lot that goes on for you from just making that shift.
Just from making that shift. And when I hear someone else do it, it's a connection. I'm more connected to them.
Because there's more of the unprotected heart.
More of the unprotected heart, yeah. Yeah, that undefended living, yeah.
Thank you. Anything else that anybody wants to add?
Yeah, I don't know if this is very clear because I'm sort of trying to sort it out in my head. We spoke of mindfulness earlier on when we were talking about observations, sort of feeling with the body and the mind so as to feel an attunement. That just gives way to a possibility, like I said, to sort of dive in to feelings and needs. And I thought, when you get into feelings, for me, I call it like the turbo power highway to needs. Basically, it's a way of really understanding what lies behind as a person or with somebody else. And I see going towards needs as a way of really creating a connection, complete connection. And Todd said life. Connection to life. So I see like mindfulness as one part sort of going through a path. And then when we go into feelings, we go into the path of being connected with ourselves and also connected with others. then we go on through the highway with FNR. But I just see it really as a sort of a drive-through. Does that make sense?
It makes sense in this way, that it connects me with the way that I think about feelings, that they have kind of a signal function. They let us know the state of our needs. It's kind of like, oh, I have this feeling, I must have a met need. Or I have this feeling, I must have an unmet need. Or something like this. I'm thinking it a little crude. So that's how I understand this sense of the highway. It's like it shows the way. It gives us information that is so vital. That's the thing where I'm connecting with what you're saying. Does that feel connected to you?
Yes, and I need to think about that a little more, because there's another piece to it that I want to explore during the week.
Okay, great.
It struck me that this is the piece that actually gets us to nonviolence. It's the place where we begin to understand the nature of violence, both subtle and overt, and what is possible in its opposite.
Say more. This is a completely new perspective for me. I'm totally intrigued and fascinated. I want to hear more.
I realized in the course of the last week that there was something that bothered me about calling this compassionate communication, and there was something in the essence of nonviolence that was essential to it.
Oh, I agree with you.
And I think that is the beginnings of recognizing the violence in conceiving of ourselves as separate, using story to relate to each other as if it's truth or as if it's reality. And those two steps exclude us from the possibility of caring for each other and nurturing ourselves anytime we're frightened. We immediately go to that self-protective, I need space, I need more distance.
Yeah. Thank you. That really resonates for me. The more I have been delving into nonviolence, the more of a loss I feel when I hear the word compassionate communication, because compassionate communication doesn't invoke the idea of courage in a way that nonviolence does. It doesn't invoke the idea of truth-telling.
That's another piece. The way we get around our triggers is to go to the dojo and practice Aikido. It's to go to the conflict and there be present to and practice nonviolent communication. And that's how we get to the place where eventually it's pretty hard to get triggered. We're so confident that this can bring us into connection, it doesn't occur to us to try and push away.
Thank you. And for me, the one extra thing that I want to say about what you just shared, which I so enjoyed, is that the fundamental move is to remove the protection. And in a way, the observation starts with that. When I connect with the feeling, I remove one more layer of protection because I'm willing to go internal. It's the first step of going internal. There's a dance between inside and outside when we do NVC, and this is the move inwards. This is where it begins, where I look at the feeling, what is really going on inside of me. And it's profound because it liberates me from being outward-oriented. So thank you for bringing
that. I really get that powerful inward step in observation as well. Because to really observe well, I need to go into silence and really focus all of my energy onto just observing what is there. What's the body language? What's the tone of voice? What's the facial gesture? What are the words that are chosen? There's so much information that if I'm not in silence participating to observe, I miss it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
We have three more rounds that I want to go through at least before we're done. Okay. Next, we move to the part of NVC that I personally am completely biased about, in the sense that I think it holds the heart of what is most unique about NVC, what makes it stand apart from other modalities that I have encountered, which is the focus on needs. So I want you to go back into your group and explore the question, what is so unique about focusing on needs? What happens when we go to that level? How does that give us power to connect with ourselves and with others, to understand things, to shift perspective? What does that focus give us? So, same deal. Welcome back. And once again, I am inviting conversation about what you have discovered. I so want full participation from more people. I'm really happy with all that everyone has shared so far, and I'd like to get to know the people who haven't spoken yet. So if you have willingness to imagine that you might have something significant to contribute, even if you don't think that you have something significant to contribute, just take a risk.
It's interesting. I'm in a group with two other women, and it seemed to me that the quality of the temperature or something, the feeling of this consultation, this last few minutes, was very different. Almost like we're on sacred ground talking mm-hmm. about needs. Just how it can bring us from the individuality of the feeling world to the universal need world. You know, lonely becomes a need for caring or whatever it is that lonely person is needing.
I'm really appreciating what you're saying, because for me, the needs are the carriers of what is most essential and magnificent about being human. I'm not surprised that you encountered an experience of sacredness. Anything you want to add?
No, thank you.
One kind of a theme that I was hearing in our group was a sense of freedom and spaciousness through connection with needs, and trust that there's room for everybody in the conversation, and that it connects us to our common humanity, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. There's something about really and truly getting grounded in needs that transcends conflict. Suddenly transcends separation, transcends conflict, transcends scarcity, and brings us into the place of essence and possibility. Even if we don't see an immediate strategy to meet the need, just being connected with the need shifts something. Is this related to what you wanted to share?
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is that somehow we get to a place of less fearfulness, like through the trust and the spaciousness, there's a real reduction in anxiety.
Yes, it's a place of immense grounding and strength, and it's so paradoxical. So many times I hear people asking, why needs? You know, why do we want to need anything? We're supposed to transcend needs. And it's exactly at the heart of embracing the need that we find that strength and grounding. So thank you for that.
I just want to pick up from what the gentleman just said. In some culture, like in my culture, a woman is supposed to take care of other people. And in my religion too, as a Catholic, we always try to serve other people. And to a long time that I noticed that I've been focusing on other people's needs, serving other people, husband, cooking, everything. And not until I start to learn MVC that I realized that I can also have needs and to respect my own need. And it's not an insult to have my own need.
It gives you a sense of your mattering and of your power. Is that what it does?
I think so, that we can ask for it, that we can look into our own needs.
Yeah.
And I respect my own needs also, as well as other people's needs.
Yeah. Thank you. So it's connection with yourself and with others and just seeing your own fullness. Anything else that anybody wants to add?
It connects us to explore the cause of joy.
Come on, you've got to say another line on this.
We're really effective in understanding how to cause pain. And we're confused about what causes joy. The confusion is expressed in our confusion about the definition of the word love as attachment or sex. And it allows us to recognize that when we contribute effectively to the fulfillment of another's need or our own need and feel life thriving, that causes joy.
Got it. Thank you.
It also is wonderful in terms of mediation to translate other people's conception of conflict as a zero-sum game into a field of abundance.
Yes, because once you connect with the need, there's no separation and no scarcity, and then you can look together for the solution that maximizes everyone's needs, and it's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. The one piece that I want to add here is just the way that I experience connecting with needs as a place of enormous spiritual grounding. It was alluded to in some ways by Carolyn. For me, a practice of meditating on needs is a completely transformative experience that brings me so often easily into a place of gratitude and flow and wholeness. And it's the same way that I would meditate on anything else. Just keep my attention focused on needs and bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back whenever it wanders away. And I just wanted to leave people with that image about needs. So the next piece is requests. Here there are two questions that I want you to look at. One is, what is the power that we get from making requests at all, from coming out of ourselves back into the world and asking for things? Why is that powerful? What do we get from doing that? And the second piece is, what do we get from doing that as opposed to making demands? In other words, a request is contrasted with two different things. One is not asking at all, and the other is making a demand. Prior to NVC, a lot of people are doing an either-or. I either don't ask at all, or I make a demand. If I don't want to make a demand, I won't ask. And if I'm even going to ask, I'm not going to leave room for the other person to say no. So what is the power that comes from asking for what I want and making it a request rather than a demand? Great. So let's do, again, a five-minute piece. Welcome back, and same invitation as before. Would you like to share from your journey in your group?
I want to share more about the piece of demands. If we come back to what I said about needs is where we realize that we can hold everybody's needs at no one's expense. So when you're in that space, you can't really, I mean, you already know that we're going to work sort of together. If I'm asking this to myself, I have hope that there is space for everybody's needs to be met. So it's difficult for me to understand the concept of demand, because demand for me is sort of like fear of not getting my needs met. So when I know I'm in that space where we can hold everybody's needs, I'm not scared, and so I can accept whatever person will respond to when I request something and adjust. And it's sort of like of a dance, make a request, oh, it's not totally in tune, okay, let's find something else. What would you like to add?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try something else. And I really enjoy that very much. So the concept of demand is completely dissolved when there is no fear.
What I want to add to what you're saying is that it seems that when I make a demand, I'm essentially saying my needs matter, yours don't. And that if I am really grounded in my own needs and in a place of spaciousness and care, then how could I not care about your needs? And so focusing my attention on making requests is training in holding everyone's needs in a very direct way. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Making the request really serves me for action. It's really the way to move life forward.
Yes, I make things happen by making requests. If I don't make requests, many things just will never happen.
And making a demand is something that I seem to believe I'm going to pay for.
You do.
And so that's where I don't see that as making progress or making mm-hmm. advancement. Okay, uh-huh. Sure, it technically is action, but it's not yeah. moving forward in my book.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Someone in our group said something so beautifully. He said, it's request is where I trust in my own mattering.
Yes. So that is another big piece of the training in the consciousness that relates also to what Veronica was talking about before. I cannot fully inhabit the consciousness of nonviolence without trusting that I matter. So thank you for that. So the last thing that I want to focus on for one more quick dip is the very core choice that we make when we open our mouth to use NVC. We either focus on expressing ourselves and making a request, or we focus on responding empathically to where the other person is. And the question that I want to invite you to explore in this last round is, how do you make that choice? Do you make it consciously? Do you make it intuitively? Do you have considerations? Are you happy with the results when you make this choice? Do you lean one way or the other and want to increase your capacity in the other? All of this cluster of questions, all of it in 5 minutes, of course, then go for it. Welcome back. And for the last time today, I'm inviting people to share what you have discovered or in what you heard from others, what insights you have about this question.
What came up for me in this choice is that it's taken me a while to really foster my own courage in expressing myself as honestly and clearly as I can. But now I find so often that when I'm in the mode of expression, that it can be interpreted by the other person so easily as a form of criticism. And at that moment, I don't always know where to go. I'm more likely to go back into empathy for them. At the same time, I want so much for them to hear my own truth. It's not an easy place to be.
Yeah. So the decision is not a simple one. I would say, without hearing from you, that sometimes if there is any kind of fear or discomfort in expressing something and we don't express that, then the expression itself, because of the tightness of the fear, can sound like a criticism. I don't know if that's what's going on. It's just something to ponder.
I mean, if you don't express your own fear, then the other person may misinterpret.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The question was, when I open my mouth, is it a conscious decision to use NVC or is it intuitive? And sometimes it's both. Recently with a friend, we said email back and forth, and she said something like, I miss the old Carlene. This is the Carlene that is the NVC Carlene, and I miss the old Carlene. And my writing to her in my email, I didn't even think about it. But then in another decision with my sister recently, it was a very conscious decision just to say outright what I thought with no NVC. And I knew I was making that decision at that moment. So sometimes...
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's a slightly different question from the one that I asked, which was more about how do you choose empathy or self-expression?
Ah.
And really it's a question of what's more likely to contribute to connection or what's more likely to contribute to needs being met. That was the piece that I was interested in focusing on.
Any guide that you can offer would be helpful, because when faced with the situation where I'm in too much pain to, like, hear the other person, I have a tendency to either go away, withdraw, or to just put on, like, mechanical NVC. I'm noticing how difficult it is for me to just like get into it, and so
it's the protection. It's the protection. It's not the pain. The pain itself never interferes with expression. It's with fluid expression. It is only the protection. So watch yourself in the future when you get into those moments. You say, "I'm in too much pain." Why is there too much pain? Why would the pain interfere with hearing the other person? It's protecting yourself from more pain. If you embrace the courage of nonviolence that says pain is okay, you're not going to be afraid and you might be able to do something different. So just watch yourself in the future.
Thank you.
I'm aware that we haven't finished this topic, and I am going to adjust things next week so that we leave a little more time for completing this. So you get the final word for today.
I've realized that I've come up with a list of rules that I follow, and not even it was valuable for me to write all these down. But that first one, when I'm in too much pain to empathize, I think I used to try to empathize anytime, regardless of how I am, and now I really changed that. If I'm in too much pain, I'll always choose either self-expression or I'll leave. I try to only empathize if I'm really curious about what's going on with the other person.
I'm really appreciating, first of all, the focus on an authentic choice, because empathy that is not genuine so often is off-putting to people. So I'm relieved to hear that you have that guideline for yourself, and there's more to open up and explore. So putting a pause button until next week, and I will give you some more follow-up to reflect on these things in the coming week. And I would like to just hear very briefly one liner from a couple of people. What stands out to you from today's class?
That last one liner, Mickey, I really hope we pick it up again. Pain never interferes with fluid expression or hearing another. It's protection that is preventing you.
Thank you.
I'm taking away the three levels of NVC.
Enjoy.
The focus, the template, and the consciousness. Thank you.
I'm inspired to try the needs meditation, maybe picking one need each day and just spending a few minutes in meditation on that.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'm really having a blast with the level of engagement and energy in this group. Bye for now.